Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Square Ball Podcast 168 with Levi's Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball when you inquire. Head to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Issue 6 of our fanzine will be along for the Bristol match. Issue 5 still available if you want to get hold of it. Guarantee both by getting yourself a half-season subscription on our website. All the remaining issues are delivered to your house. And we've got loads of cool clothes and mugs for sale via the website. It's at thesquareball.net. Well, it's Tuesday morning now then, gents. Morning of the Brentford match. Things, as the kids might say, totes and moche after the game against Forest on Saturday. Moscow, you were quite zen about the whole thing. Michael, you were not. Has anything changed then in the intervening couple of days?
I'm enjoying today. I'm just enjoying being second for one last time. One last day in the automatic promotion places. Well, hours now. Just hours to go. Counting down. Yeah, we've fucked it.
Well, you said we haven't fucked it, Moscow. And I'm actually from a position of, I tend to swing from one side to the other, but today I've gone to quite a zen position. I think because I'm at that stage of grief, it's acceptance. Is that the stage of grief you're at where you think this is beyond my control and I need to move past it because it's disrupting my life?
There's nothing to grieve over.
I know that, but that's the only equivalent I can think of.
We can grieve those 13 points we once were clear.
Yeah, we might win them back. We could still go up. We're second.
You're like one of these people who've been a millionaire and then gone bust and you're like, it's all right, I'll get it back.
Well, no, because we've still got it. We've still got second place. And I think what's the most likely thing that happens to a team that's in second place? It's probably at the end there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's harder to change than not. Yeah, I'm still reasonably relaxed. Like, went home Saturday, Ionopolis by Glenn James Brown. That's a good book. So I read the rest of that.
What's that about?
People from Teesside might know the legend of Peg Powler, who is a witch who lives in the pipes. And if you've been bad, she'll come up through the toilet and she'll take you down into the pipes with her forever. That seems like a bigger thing to worry about than Leeds losing to Nottingham Forest.
Is that why David Hague had the cameras installed? Was he worried about that?
It could well be, yeah, making sure that Peg Powler didn't come up through the pipes.
Seems like a sensible move to me.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we're going up.
I mean, I do, despite everything. And I said it on Saturday, despite swinging wildly from one side to the other, despite the anxiety, despite the crisis of confidence, I still think we will go up. I do.
The thing with the Forest game is that we've been saying for about 6 weeks that every game that we've lost, we've played well. You know, we've played well enough to win, but we've not got the result. This is the first game where we actually played badly. And you can see, we talked about some of the reasons for it. Ben White is not a midfielder. We missed Ben White at the back, so we're kind of two players down from that. We've got Kevin Legrand is getting ready to come in and make the difference that we need him to make in attack. But that was the first game I can remember. I can't remember the last time we played that badly or the last time we came out of watching a Leeds game and thought, God, they were shit today, as they were against Forest. So if we have one really bad match in every 30, we should probably do all right out of that kind of average.
You are right.
If you strip all the emotion out of it, you are. I think that's the problem is that we can't strip the emotion out.
And we can't strip out a goalkeeper who lets in every shot that he faces and a striker who never scores.
Yeah, we've got options there though. We have another goalkeeper and it does sound like that decision is going to be taken out of Bielsa's hands sooner or later. I think they're talking about having the hearing this month. So it almost sounds like the last 12 games of the season will be Meslier.
What if he's innocent?
Yes. What if?
I mean, is anybody really? I mean, from a moral standpoint, you want him to have not done it, but
yeah,
everyone at this point tragically is thinking, well, if he has,
so we'll have the other keeper for a lot of games, whether that's a good idea or not. So it's going to happen at some point. And then Augustine, we know what the story is there, that they're trying to train him up to being useful. How long did he have in this match? It was about 20 minutes, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
So he's at the 20 minutes stage. It's not going to be weeks and months before he's ready to start. And I don't think how excited we were about him when we were looking at him on like the social media video that was getting a look. He's got in a posh Uber and he came on a plane and he went to a hotel. Look how exciting this all is. I don't think that should have been lost in the last 2 weeks of him getting ready to play. I don't think there's any reason not to think he could still score the goals to take us up. And form changes, doesn't it? Results change.
You said that last week.
Yeah.
One thing I think, just returning to Saturday, that was mildly concerning, to say the least, was that post-match interview that's done the rounds with Luke Ayling. He said the first goal killed us. And, you know, you've said we played badly on Saturday, but as we mentioned in the match ball, we played all right in the early stages of that. We were knocking it around quite nicely. And then that goal's gone in and just knackered us.
He did seem bereft. He seemed, you know, if you've chatted to a mate whose long-term girlfriend's just left him, he had that sort of a vibe. It's like, it was going so well, and then, I don't know, it just, I don't know what I'm going to do now. It's just, she's gone.
She's with him.
Didn't see it coming.
I thought we'd be together forever, but we're not. We're third. She's moved to Nottingham. Oh, God. Things change, though, don't they? Footballers are like all of us. You know, we were all buzzing after that Millwall game, weren't we? Mm. Something can turn it around. I was looking back, actually, trying to find some crumb of comfort. And the 17th of Feb 2009 is that 2-0 defeat at Hereford that people said was, well, it was one of the many points that people said was a low point, because there were many in that sort of an era, weren't there, when you had to be like, no, this is definitely the worst. And a week had passed and you said, no, this is the worst. Mm. But after that, we didn't lose again until the 13th of April.
And the thing is as well, it feels like the misery gets compounded and the challenge gets greater every single time we drop points. But actually it doesn't, does it?
No.
Because if we win tonight against Brentford, suddenly the world's going to look glorious again. It's just fine margins, just like, so you're swinging from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, it's annoying that the 11-point gap didn't become the 13-point gap that it should have done, and that then now it's gone. But even if we still had an 11-point gap to third, we wouldn't be up. Like, it would, we'd still be trying to get promoted and we could still lose it from there. Nothing is settled at this point. And looking back at the last time we were promoted from 2009-10, from this point, I mean, we were awful. How many games did we win in January? We beat, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, can't count the JPT. Not many until it came down. And we still went up. It's football. Like, loads of stuff can happen. And just because it collapsed last season doesn't mean it's going to collapse this. Just because we lost on Saturday doesn't mean we're going to lose on Tuesday. You kick off again. And one of the things to hope for from Nottingham Forest is that it was that bad and Luke Ayling was that upset, that I hope Sunday, was spent with everyone going, let's just not be that shit again. Let's fucking sort this out.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing
hit
to
bottom,
take,
bounce back.
The other thing to take from that is something positive that Ayling said. He said, okay, you know, the gap's gone. So now we're on a level playing field again. We just start again.
Yeah. We've got to outscore the other teams over the remaining 15 matches. And if you think, it's not very long since we went 15 games unbeaten. And we won 7 in a row of those. It's the same team, same players. So, you know, this argument that every man jack of them is a shit bastard who can't play football, it's not true.
It's just Kiko.
It's just just Kiko, that he's gone from being the best shot stopper in the division to the worst. And we've got another goalkeeper. And he, you know, somebody might get a grip of him. Somebody might say, what the hell is wrong with you? Why aren't you saving shots at your near post that are absolutely simple?
The form table is terrifying, though.
It is.
When you look at the last 10 games, and only Luton and QPR have managed to get fewer points, and QPR actually did beat us within that run as well. And also the games we have won in there have been games where we've conceded loads of goals, which is slightly worrying because it felt like earlier in the season we were just a machine churning out nice routine 2-0
well, maybe,
wins.
Maybe that's what it needs then, just to get us back on track, even if it's not tonight against Brentford, if we could just basically try and get a routine 1-0 or a 2-1 or something. Maybe if that's what we can look forward to on Saturday against Bristol, back at home, and get something just sensible going on again. I don't know. I mean, was it, you know, our friend, the Beaten Generation, who goes by the Twitter handle Violet White now, he sent me video footage of Kiko's one cap for Spain. Have you seen this?
No.
Because people have said, how can this guy have been capped for Spain? So the context is they're playing against Germany in 2014, and he comes on just for the final 14 minutes to get his solitary cap for Spain, concedes the only goal of the game, and it's typical Kiko. Look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
Germany-Spain, 1-0, 2014, and he dives down. A ball that bounces just in front of him, dives down straight past him.
Is anyone actually seen him do any good goalkeeping?
We have.
It was fairly good earlier in the season. It was nothing that made me think he was should have ever been signed by Real Madrid or played for Spain.
It's just weird, isn't it? It's kind of, you think somebody who's so experienced would just have that self-assurance and that confidence. Mm. Like, I've got this, lads, it's fine, don't worry. And yet, you shit yourself every time now that he's facing a shot.
Or at least have the ability to overcome when he makes a mistake. Because all keepers make mistakes. We've talked about this before when trying to make excuses for countless bad goalkeepers over the years. You're kind of like, Nigel Martin used to make mistakes sometimes and it's fine. But he also used to turn up at the next game and be brilliant.
Yeah, there's something I wrote about the other week and I don't know if I'm right, but I feel like top level goalkeeping has changed in the... You know, if Aguero or Harry Kane shoots at you to the ability that they've got, there's no expectation that you're going to save it. And the game is so tilted in favour of attacking now. If you look at what you're allowed to do in the box with the handballs and penalties and stuff, it's all about goals. And goalkeepers are kind of like, unless they're passing the ball with their feet, they're almost expected to stand and watch strikers be brilliant. It's all, you know, if Mo Salah misses a chance, it's on him rather than Dean Henderson being the second coming of Lev Yashin or something. So it is weird because Kiko Kasir is our one legitimate Champions League trained player. Like, you do not really get a higher level of conditioning, training, practice, instruction than Real Madrid, whether you're in the first team or on the bench. They prepared him for every single game Real Madrid played for 4 years or 5 years or however long he was there to be their number one goalkeeper, because if something happened to their number one, he would be. And then he comes to Leeds and we're all convinced he's our worst player. And there's something there that...
Don't quite add up, does it?
It doesn't add up. And it can't just be that he's rubbish, but it can't also be that we're wrong, because we're looking at him and we know he should have saved that shot on Saturday. We know he should be catching corners better than he does. We know he should be commanding his area. We know he shouldn't be rushing out of his goal like a dickhead. But there's something, it's almost like the first half at Arsenal, where because we had all the space that we don't get in the Championship, we suddenly look like one of the best teams in the Premier League, that we're playing a game that works really well at the higher levels, but the Championship is fucked.
And it is, yeah. What did go wrong on Saturday then? Because it feels like we can't look at this game in isolation, because I was saying everybody's compounding all the misery and the angst to become one big confusing mess. But is it too many square pegs in round holes? Is it just missing Calvin, Pablo off form, Kiko? What is it?
The individual errors we've pretty much covered. The Kiko shouldn't be letting that in, and then it's 0-0 and you still have a chance to win. The last goal as well, which I know we were chasing a game so it almost doesn't matter, but that is an individual error as well from Harrison. It just wasn't really working on Saturday, and it's rare we say that, but we didn't have I thought Bamford didn't play well, but he didn't play well in that he wasn't involved at all, whereas normally we're in here saying he was in the box hitting it over the bar from 6 yards. He wasn't even in the box hitting it over from 6 yards because the crosses weren't reaching him, and I think in that first half he only had a dozen touches or something. So there was nothing really he could do, I didn't think. But then maybe that's his job, to sometimes try to do something else.
Yeah, I was saying it on Saturday, I think Ben White in particular just wasn't the player we needed in that position. There was a sequence in the second half when he tried to play a through ball to Helder Costa and just absolutely banged it past him over the goal line. And then about a minute later, he tried to play the ball out wide to the other wing to Harrison, and he just absolutely banged it past him and it went out for a throw-in. If that had been Calvin Phillips there, he plays that through ball right. He gets that ball to Jack Harrison. And so much goes through that position normally. It's absolutely crucial in a Bielsa team that you have a player there who can pass, basically. Yeah. And Ben White can, but he can pass from centre-back, and that's where he needs to be.
From centre-back to Calvin Phillips.
Yeah.
More often than not.
Or even, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know if it's because of how hard he was kicking the ball. He still thought he was 20 yards back, but it's like he was kicking the ball 20 yards ahead of Helder Costa. So I don't know, if simple things like that.
But there's truth in it. If you think about how the centre-backs play at Leeds, you either spread it across and go side to side to the full-backs, or you come through and you give it to the deep line midfielder, which is Calvin. So your jobs are basically three: pass it sideways, pass it backwards, or pass it to Calvin.
Or you have that Liam Cooper long diagonal as well, because the whole concept is, you know, you're supposed to look how far forward you can get this ball with one pass. And if it's all the way to Pat Bamford in the penalty area, then you play that ball. And then if it's not, if it might be to Pablo Hernandez is behind him, then it's to Clickens behind him or to Phillips. And then if none of those you can't get through, you go sideways to see if moving the opposition opens you up the angle to go forward. And yeah, just having him there, Phillips has become so good at passing long, at passing short, at knowing what ball to play, at winning the ball back, that removing a player of that quality for three games, we might have gotten away with it for a couple, as we did against Huddersfield when Ben White filled in. But it really, yeah, Calvin, keep fit, don't get suspended.
First sort of indications of people tiring of Bielsa have emerged over the weekend, rightly or wrongly. And I think this is probably born out of him saying the same things afterwards, like he takes responsibility. And you know why he's doing it. I'm absolutely sure he could point some individual fingers for some of the things that have gone wrong over the recent weeks, but he refuses to do it because it's part of his ethic is to take that responsibility on his shoulders, and you win and lose as a group. But people sort of making those noises, oh, I'm sick of hearing it now.
I'd rather he did that than the Gary Monk approach, which is just to come out in the press pointing fingers at everyone but him. I'm sure behind closed doors he is saying to Kiko, could you just stop being quite so shit, please? We paid a lot of money for you. I keep playing you and you keep letting them in. So maybe stop that. Mm. Although if the translation of anything, if the press conference was anything to go by, who knows what is actually being communicated.
Well, Bielsa can speak to Kiko in Spanish, I think.
So that's true enough.
There's probably that advantage. And one of his techniques, I don't know if he'll still do it, but a player from years ago, it might have been Newell's era or something, was sent a video through of all his mistakes and had to sit and watch everything he'd done wrong in all the games that season, and was like, oh, this is terrible. And then a caption comes up on the screen and says, that's not you. And then it's all the good things he did came after that. I said, this is you. This is how you play. So don't do the bad stuff, do the good stuff. And said that it was great. It put everything out of like, no, this is how good I can be. Why do I make these mistakes? Why do I do these things wrong when I can do these things so well? So he has got these techniques in his locker and ways of getting through with individual players of what they need to do. I think the struggle a little bit might be time, because, you know, when you play Saturday tea time and then you're playing again Tuesday evening, there's not a lot of room in there to do any training, especially with the travel coming back from Nottingham. They'll be travelling down to Brentford now as we're talking and all that. So we've basically had Sunday, Monday to try and sort a lot of things out. But I wouldn't say I was bored of him, and I don't, he's not going to leave.
I mean, it's the best thing to have happened to the club in a generation. So these calls for Sam Allardyce that have taken place on UK radio this morning, it's absolute insanity, isn't it?
Why would you sack anybody when you're second in the table? Even if the form table
is ridiculous,
is bad. We laugh at Derby for doing it. Didn't they sack, who did they sack for not playing the Derby way when they were in the playoff positions, and then they got somebody else in and sank like a stone, and it brings Steve McLaren back and it was terrible. And that was mockery. And it's not 2 weeks since we were all laughing at scum for behaving like absolute spoiled children with flares outside the Woodwards house saying, oh, and I look, they're 6 points off the Champions League places and they've got £80 million defender. And they came across like spoiled, entitled brats. And I feel like elements of our online support, at least, is edging towards that as well, where if you can't be happy to be in second place, then what the fuck are you even watching football for? Like, this is good. But if you can't take some kind of excitement out of the fact that we are actually fighting for promotion as it stands now, this is what it's all about. This is better than finishing 15th ever seen. For 10 years watching Leeds, we'd be getting to mid-February. What would we even be talking about? Saying, well, we're just going to finish mid-table again, aren't we? What do you think we'll do next season? Should we have another manager next season? Should we just get rid of some players? We wouldn't even be bothered about what we're doing against Brentford on a Tuesday night because it would be absolutely irrelevant. Whereas tonight, it will be relevant. And that's
so
good.
Let me just check. This is good.
This is good.
It hasn't, I mean, let's
second in the,
I know,
in the division.
You've got to make some allowances for the fact we have thrown away an enormous lead, and people are understandably touchy. But in terms of, like, we're in for Bielsa this season, aren't we? It's his season. Let him finish it. I mean, Christ, if we did bring Allardyce in now, think how confused the players would be. All of a sudden, you'd be trying to play, turn Patrick Bamford into Kevin Davis all of a sudden. And
Big Kev, hit him, head.
So maybe that'd attract Allardyce, actually, having a striker called Big Kev. That might be enough to seal the deal. But yeah, we're in for this style of play and this sort of madness for this season. So let's just see how it goes. We can try Allardyce next year if this goes wrong.
And I think that is at the root of why I feel a little bit more zen now, because it's Bielsa's season. And we knew when we got him, this is what we were getting. Not necessarily dropping the points, but the refusal to rotate the small squad, so on and so forth. It's what you get with Bielsa, isn't it? And I'd rather have it than not. Whether it's for you personally then or your business, you can support us by getting in touch with Levi Solicitors if you need legal services, and you'll get 10% off your fees for going through us. They do employment law, wills, probate, conveyancing too. So if you're moving house this year, then contact their top draw conveyancing team. You can get an instant quote on the website so you're informed before the for sale sign goes up. And remember, there's a 10% discount to knock off your quote on the website because you're a square baller. So whether it's conveyancing, any other personal or legal commercial needs, get in touch, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. And on the topic of the online wailing and gnashing of teeth, let's talk about Andrea Radrazzani and his tweets and how helpful or unhelpful you might consider them to be.
I consider them unhelpful, the end.
Yes.
So why though? It's not what he's saying so much as his timing and the fact that he's saying it.
He's kind of saying some of the same things as we've just been saying.
Yeah, and as Tony Dorigo was saying last week, who we ended up retweeting with his sarcastic clapping and stuff, the content isn't actually, you know, everybody should stick together and try and go for promotion.
But just doesn't come off well.
But the difference is we're doing something here like that people will choose to listen to and might agree with us or might disagree with us. That feels like, coming from the club owner, there's a degree of telling you how to support. And I think if we know one thing, is you can't tell Leeds fans what to do, and you can't throw a blanket over Leeds fans and make them all do one thing. And it's just in the natural sort of characteristics to go, you can't tell me what to do, mate.
Yeah, I think that's the difference when he says, one thing frustrates me more than any defeat. I've been a fan like you, travelling to support my team since I was a student and no money. How can't you support a team club that have reached the best result of the last 16 years? Those are valid questions. And I suppose the context for this is he probably does have, his mentions are probably on Saturday night.
A horror show?
Well, there are hundreds of people calling him a shit wanker and telling him to fuck off back to Italy. And it does take some considerable strength to not look at all that and think, I'm going to say something back about all this. But also, there's a moment to judge the mood. And I don't know if it's language troubles or if it's, you know, we saw him in his private jet with a bottle of whiskey, whether it is the way he unwinds on a Saturday night and then thinks, oh, actually, I am going to go on Twitter now, plays into it. But there is a way of doing it if you're in that position, which is to wait until Sunday morning and you say, I see all the anger on Twitter and I understand why you're upset with results, but I think now, you know, the team needs you all more than ever. And even if what you actually want to say is, I wish you wankers would all stop calling me a wanker, just lie. You know, it's one of the
PR. It's called PR.
It is. If you're in that position and you want to put out positive messages, think about it very carefully and then say the blandest thing possible. Otherwise, it will end up with that thing where he's saying, and it was.
Well, I mean, just to pick you up on that, you're absolutely right. And we take the piss out of Gary Monk for being the Monk bot, but his outpourings are carefully constructed. PR tweets. And he says the things that he says with the club hashtag changes from club to club, but it's basically the same message everywhere that he goes. And we laugh at it, but that's how you do PR, because you say nothing.
Yeah. It's pointless to try and keep everyone together here on Twitter and remark the good things we achieved in where we stand. It's just a platform for haters. Enjoy. Happy to meet you face to face at the end of the season, which was not actually the fight people thought he was calling out for.
Unless he's going to fight Lee Johnson. I think he might be in a little bit of trouble, because he's not... I mean, from the Amazon documentary, he didn't even look very big, so...
No, he's not the tallest.
And Leeds fans, I don't know if you've seen any of them, but some of them look quite hard.
Yes.
Not us three, admittedly, but... I think some of his tweets as well, the first one when he was saying, oh, you know, I'm just like you. Because he's like, I used to have no money, you know, like all you. It's a bit condescending in the first place. And also, is he a Juventus fan? Like, they've pretty much been...
They're the Man United of Italy.
Yeah, it's like, there was the brief period when we were relegated because we bribed a load of referees. But, you know, that aside, it's been more or less wall-to-wall success for Juventus throughout his entire life.
And you just also as well, I mean, he does have a very good point that Twitter is a platform for haters. And if you're looking at a timeline of people saying that they hate you, you have to take into account your current status. Tony DiRigo won the league for Leeds United. So if he comes out and says, I think Leeds fans need to calm down, stick together, stop tweeting at people and being angry, people are going to be like, oh, Tony DiRigo won the league, you know, and he's a good guy. Whereas if everybody's angry at you, you could come out and say, right, everybody's getting a free kitten. I said, fuck your fucking free kittens, you shit bastard. Don't want a fucking free kitten. Wanted 3 points today. Why aren't we signed a striker? It's just, there's nothing you can say in those situations. And so, saying nothing
is the best.
The best policy.
I mean, I think that's the thing, is people go, well, he's got the right to reply, because this is one of the two arguments that follows, is that he's got the right to reply. He has, but the objection to it is not that he's got the right to reply, it's that he replies and what then flows from it.
And there does have to be then a question as to, you know, why people feel the need to spend Saturday night tweeting angrily at somebody, and then if he does actually reply in kind, oh my God, I can't believe he's tweeted angrily at people. It's like, well, you were doing it, so he can do it. You know, that it is...
It works on both sides. Some arguments are just best left for the next day when everyone has calmed down a bit. It's like you were saying the other week about tweets sent within half an hour of a match finished or whatever. They're always bad after a defeat. And when things are bad in general, probably all of Saturday.
But that's the thing as well. Like, I mean, from the Square Ball account, like after we lost on Saturday, because everyone's so upset, you just sort of pull back from it a little bit. And the example I give is as well as basic media and PR stuff, like... The club's official account didn't tweet anything from full time on Saturday until noon on Sunday. That was the first thing they put, was noon on Sunday, because they know anything they put will meet with a bad reaction.
Yeah.
It's about timing. It's not about the fact that you're saying stuff. It's just the fact that everyone's upset, but once everybody's slept on it, everyone's calmed down a little bit more and it's fine to then start putting things out.
There's an advance to this. I'm going to skip ahead in our thing here to the conversation about Leeds needing a sports psychologist, which has been something a lot of people have been saying. And you saw it with Luke Ayling, and you're thinking, why does that player look under so much pressure? And should we get somebody in? And Graham Smith interviewed Gary Bloom, who is clinical sports psychotherapist at Oxford United, who unsurprisingly did think that if he was employed at Leeds, he is a Leeds fan, but he basically said, yeah, they should employ somebody like me. The expectations of the fans mixed with the disappointment of the fans is quite a toxic mix. Imagine all the pressure without the success. And I can't think of any elite organisation paying that sort of money to their employees who wouldn't say we need someone like a sports psychologist. And I've been thinking about this, and it's probably true that it's useful for players to have that, but it also feels a little bit like all the stuff about, and Helen Peterson writes a lot about burnout, and millennial burnout. And I wrote about it last season, what she'd been saying about it related to the whole Bielsa thing. And the fact that there's now this industry around, like, if you are burnt out.
Who's the writer, sorry?
And Helen Peterson. If you are burnt out, you can go to Gwyneth Paltrow will sell you a $100 candle that will solve all your problems. But it won't solve all your problems, because if it did, then you wouldn't need a $100 candle. And there's an element of bringing in a sports psychologist to help them deal with this pressure. Why not just reduce the pressure? What if they were under less pressure? What if they did, you know, if we didn't have to bring in a sports psychologist because hundreds of people weren't tweeting them on Saturday night calling them shit? That might actually be just as beneficial as not bringing in somebody to help them cope with hundreds of people calling them shit. And it, I mean, it's,
if we had a sports psychologist who was on Twitter as well, he would, he himself would have loads of people.
Why haven't you fucking sorted this out?
Calling him a shit bastard. So then he'd probably have a crisis of confidence, which would then transmit to the players.
I was thinking, relates to that. I was thinking about, do you remember Gianni Vio?
Yes.
Love a set piece coach now, wouldn't we? Yeah. There's nothing anybody wants more than a set piece coach.
But that became a joke, didn't it?
People, it was like, absolutely the worst idea anybody
had. Bloody hell. Got a set piece coach.
And it's something massive and structural in football, because the other aspect of it is, when you're talking about promotion, why are the players under so much pressure to win promotion? There's the pressure from us, the fans who want it. And then I've sort of written in the YEP today, like, questioning why we want it. What's so good about promotion? It means, oh, great, I won't be able to actually afford to watch Leeds anymore because the tickets will be too expensive. And VAR...
No tickets on the gantry.
No tickets. I didn't say it. And then... And VAR fucking ruins it anyway, and it's, the whole experience will be sanitised. So basically the football that we love will be ruined by this thing that we're having breakdowns about in February because it might not happen. But then there's the other side of the Premier League, which is that hundreds of millions of pounds are at stake on this. You know, Andrea Ratrizzani, we may mock him for being potless, but the difference to whatever takeover deal or whatever money he's put into the club is enormous financially. So if you think, you know, fucking Andrea Ratrizzani doesn't care, even if it's just about how much money he's going to have in the bank in June, that would have to be bothering him. Players on promotion bonuses, salary increases, there's millions of pounds at stake. It's no wonder Luke Ayling came out of it on Saturday night and looking as if his, not only had his girlfriend left him, but she was haunting him in the pipes like his girlfriend was fucking Peg Power.
And they're supposed to be getting married this summer as well, poor thing.
Yeah, and he's faced up to Kyle Bartley being his best man and being a Premier League defender, and he's not. And, you know, maybe what's the budget for the wedding if he's a Premier League player, and what is it if he's not? So much going on. And yeah, you can bring in a sports psychotherapist to deal with it all, or maybe just look at football and go, football's fucking mental. And why is it so mental? And is there a way that maybe reacting to a result on February the, what was it, 9th, 8th? It's the 11th today. As if everything has fallen apart and it's a disaster when there's still, you know, the season runs until May. I don't know. I think everybody could relax and it might help. I want to look back on this season because I was thinking about why I'm so relaxed about it. I think we're going up. And when we do go up, I want to look back on this season as a time that I enjoyed and that it was good. That, you know, Leeds were playing exciting football at the top of the division, trying to go for a promotion, and it got quite tense, but that's sport, isn't it? You know, what would Leeds United be like if we hadn't had Bournemouth when it went to the last day and Chapman scored to go up, and if we hadn't had Bristol Rovers and Beckford scored on the last day to get us up? That's what happens in football, and that's why it's fucking brilliant. And also, I don't want the open-top bus to be pulling into Millennium Square with the trophy and to be sat there thinking, there they are, all the shit that I hate, wankers. When it seems like it could all be an absolutely pointless spunking of futile energy when we might actually still go up and it'll be fine. So there'll be plenty of time to be angry about it in the summer. And then if we don't go up, there'll still be another season that'll start next August.
Enter Salim Lamrani with his timely...
He gets it.
...timely graphic. And the line that struck a chord with me was, support the lads because they need it and they deserve it. I know them and I can tell you they are good men. And I think they are. That's the problem.
Except Kiko.
Bielsa said something about that, the week that he has a squad of brilliant human beings or something like that. And they are. And
Kiko Casilla.
And Kiko Casilla. And Kiko Casilla apart, they've been together quite a long time. I think some people, that's, you know, familiarity makes breeds contempt, where Liam Cooper might be concerned, but also it's a good thing that these players have been
Don't we want a squad of bastards? Let's have a squad of bastards.
Well, it would be easier to get angry with them, but it is kind of like, I would like this lot to go up because they seem decent.
It's a very niche. Getting a bastard is a mixed bag, though, isn't it? Because sometimes you get a Vinnie Jones bastard and sometimes you get a Belushi bastard.
Yeah. Do we want Michael Brown in midfield?
And the two are very different, give you very different outcomes.
The tension not helped, though, by what we saw in the press conference yesterday. And poor old Diego Flores, who is Bielsa's translator, but he seems to be bearing the brunt for a ramping up of the tension, because there was a slight miscommunication. Wasn't it a mistranslation? It was just a miscommunication yesterday that ramped things up to new highs. It got Bielsa tetchy. The journalists were explaining themselves. So for the benefit, if you haven't watched the press conference, to all intents and purposes, Bielsa was talking about Jhonkevin Augustin and saying that when players come in, they sometimes go backwards before they go forwards. And that's why that was the extent of it, wasn't it? Training is difficult, getting them up to the speed that we want. And sometimes you take backward steps, sometimes forward.
Because he'll be increasing the level of training that he has to do. So it will become more difficult. As he gets stronger, it will become more difficult.
Yeah, and
increasing his difficulties was the phrase.
Well, that was the phrase.
Problem,
so Flores said increasing his difficulties. And I think it was the Sky Sports journalist, wasn't it, who said, sorry, could you just clarify? And he was basically asking, are you saying he's gone backwards since he joined? That's what he just wanted clarity on. But Bielsa took this as a, well, you're taking the piss out of me for giving 20-minute answers, but here you are asking me the same question again about why is Augustin not playing? And it wasn't intended that way, was it? But it just kind of got lost through Flores.
As someone who doesn't speak Spanish, and I think probably all of us, we're just going, no! Watching it going, he didn't mean that. Yeah. He didn't mean that. Just like, let's just stop. It's fine. Just everyone calm down. Move. Just do another question.
It was a question for the translator, really, wasn't it? But I don't think Diego Flores feels, because he's not a translator, like that he's empowered to just deal with that one. If it had been Phil Dickinson, who did the Big Kevin press conference and did Bielsa's first, he would have said, oh, yeah, what he means is this, and probably would then have explained to Marcelo. But Diego just put it back to Bielsa, and he came back with, you are all laughing at my long explanations, and now you want another long explanation.
Yeah, it all got a wee
bit. That I already gave you.
It got a wee bit uncomfortable. When you think what's at stake and all the anxiety surrounding this promotion, all the stuff we just spoke about, you kind of think, don't poke the bear with a stick. We don't want to make any upset.
Loads of aggro that wasn't necessary in the room, and for all the people watching, I felt awkward watching it.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Bielsa for thinking people were taking the piss of him. I felt bad for the journalist who'd asked a question he had to ask because he'd been told that he'd got worse. And then I felt bad for Flores, who's trying to hold the whole thing together.
And then you got poor Graeme Smith, whose Northern Irish accent doesn't cut through. So he's having to put on a posh telephone voice so Flores can understand him. Bring in a proper translator and let Flores coach players.
And I have noticed that last week when Bielsa went on for an hour, and then this week again, they've stopped asking about Adam Forshaw because I don't think anybody dares. There was no injury news out of the hour-long press conference last Thursday, because I think by the time it came to whoever had kind of been delegated, so like, you're going to ask him about injuries this week, aren't you? Oh, yeah, okay. It had just got to the point where it's like, I think we'll just wait and see what the team is on Saturday.
Because this is the first one where I thought, you bloody cowards, because nobody piled in and said, are you going to drop Kiko Casilla because he's shit?
That was the other question that didn't get asked. And it was funny.
But you kind of get it as well. You know why, don't you?
One of Bielsa's points on Thursday in the hour long was, it's like, you never debate me in this. Like, you never come back to me and say, we think your ideas are wrong. You just sort of sit and smile and say, oh,
it was Bielsa's Ronnie Pickering moment, though, wasn't it? That it was him offering people outside for a bare knuckle.
But then he says, well, what you do is you sit here and say, oh, yes, Marcelo, we understand. And then you go and write things in the papers that say, I'm wrong. So why don't you say it to me now? Let's have a conversation about it, and I can.
Because you're terrifying, Marcelo. You terrify me. You're so intense. I'm scared of you. That's why.
I mean, he did once, who knows if the story's apocryphal, but chasing angry supporters away from his house with a hand grenade in his hand, which, when we do talk about the pressure that he's under at Leeds, I don't know if anybody is like going in an angry mob to Weatherby and engaging him in armed combat. We've not quite got to that stage yet. So, and that was at Newell's Old Boys, who absolutely loved him and ended up building naming the stadium after him. So, yeah, I do wonder how much, because he does look like he's under pressure. And that the one quote from last Thursday was like, I do not feel I'm under pressure and I do not think I'm showing tension. But then also,
if you say so, Mr. Bielsa.
I'm fine, mate. I'm fine.
But then you think what he has been.
Just calm down, will you? I'm fine.
Where he has been to, where he has been chasing fans with a hand grenade and the whole, you know, being manager of Argentina and fucking it up, and having the entire hopes of Chile resting on his shoulders, not just in football terms, but, you know, politically, culturally, everything. He's been through it. And that's almost, it's an argument. I don't think he'll break. I think he'll bend. But when he does say that he's not feeling tension, maybe he just, he has a higher bar. Although, again, I suppose contradicting myself, but Mr. Jimeni on Twitter, who translates brilliantly the video clips and press conferences from Marcel Bielsa's past and puts them on Twitter and YouTube. Did you see the story from his two ex Chile players when they'd lost?
Laying naked on a stretcher.
Yeah, they'd lost
walked into a little side room.
Yeah, and found him on the physio's bench lying naked and apparently just lay there for about half an hour suffering. he was asked how he copes with pressure.
To be honest, that's me after most Leeds defeats that.
He was asked how he copes with pressure yesterday and he said, that is a private matter. So, yeah, if it is...
What problems can't be solved by getting naked? There's a question for you.
The night after a defeat, if anybody does want to go around to his flat and weather being taken out with him, just bear in mind, he's going to come to the door naked with a hand grenade and he will still be calmer than you are.
Just wearing his branded Kappa socks.
It's an enduring image, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, quite the... Under-23s in decent form as well. They beat Bolton 4-1.
To Derby.
It beat Bolton 4-1, though.
Oh, we didn't mention from the press conference as well that Tyler Roberts isn't properly broken. He just got a kick.
A big kick.
But I was going to just segue into the Youth Cup as well, although we lost to those lot over the hills. Oh, by the way, we are looking back on the 1993 Youth Cup final in the extra ball this week as well, which we'll talk about in a bit. Good to see the Leeds fans over there in fine form. A little bit mean to some of these millionaire children trotting around on the pitch to Old Trafford.
I mean, it was nice, I thought, to hear them being baited and booed. Their every touch, encouraging the youngsters. There seems to be one lad who was getting the brunt of it. Who's their star player because he's basically got big hair, so he stands out. So he's
Hannibal Mabry. Oh, also,
he's called Hannibal.
And how much he cost does tell you. Like the big differences between where we are and where the Premier League is. Signed for £5 million euros when he was 15. No, when he was 16, sorry, he's 17 now.
That's insane.
Rising to 10 million based on appearances and what he does. And we're all like, you know, why didn't Kun Timoduskov, why hasn't he torn up the division yet? Well, because he came on a free from Barcelona B. And yeah, the real talent is probably the ones that are being bought and sold out of schools for 10 million euros.
What we're saying is Manchester United traffic children, is that it?
Well, that's proof.
Yeah, all Premier League clubs do.
I did enjoy, Scum keep being linked with Jack Grealish, don't they? But from what we saw of this lad, he's more than capable of running through midfield and falling over.
I hope that when Villa get relegated, that Man United drop 50 million on Jack Grealish because he's not that good.
They can probably they could get more out of him for than that.
Yeah.
If it's Man U, they could probably do him for 120.
Solskjaer just absolutely desperate. Please take my money.
You'd say anything, wouldn't you? How much you want? 500 as a starting point. But that's more than any footballer ever. Yeah.
Yeah, but Ollie, have you heard that Alex Ferguson really rates him? Oh, God. Right. Okay, we'll have to do this.
But yeah, they were calling him Sideshow Bob, weren't they? That young 16-year-old lad. And they scored after we failed to defend a corner.
I think that's a little bit unfair. It was a very good cross and a very good header. It wasn't quite...
And they're only children. They're only tiny, aren't they?
Yeah.
Little nippers. 3-4 feet tall, maximum.
Yeah. It was a good performance, I think, because as we've said, that is the difference. I don't think any of our youth players that we sign are people like McCarron and McKinstry who are getting from Carlisle
for
a couple hundred grand or whatever. We're not going into Europe and dropping 5 million quid on people. So to put a decent shift in against this lot. And they're used to playing at a higher level as well because the way youth football is structured. You play against harder opponents every week if you're in the Man United youth team. So. Yeah. It's a big step up for our boys.
It's one of the aims for Leeds this summer, is even before moving to Matthew Murray with the new training pitch that they want to build in a few years. They were saying they want to try and get it to a tier one academy this summer so that next season we're playing against teams like Scum on the regular in the league and higher level so we can attract better players and also play against better players and all around just be better. Although I don't know how you can get any better than Jamie Shackleton. Who was, we should give him some credit for being in the away end starting chants. And the chant that he was filmed choosing to start was "We Are Leeds," which is pleasantly old school from young Jamie. None of this this modern, all Leeds aren't we, meaninglessness. We Are Leeds. That's a song with bite and meaning.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Somebody was in touch suggesting that we should can the booze baton until such time as we win another game. No, onward. We're all in on this now. The location of the end of season promotion party being tracked by our mate Garden, who goes by the handle of Eden J. Harris on Twitter. Started in Leeds at the start of the season, our promotion party destination, and the first team to beat us was Stoke, so they took it. Then it goes from team to team and so on and so forth like that. Liverpool sent the kids, speaking of the kids, sent the kids out to play against Shrewsbury. Just about scraped it, so the League One tour, that's off then, isn't it?
Not it's doing a shame. That. I was kind of looking forward to it, some of the crap towns of Britain being on there.
A night out in Dagenham or something.
But Madrid, still possible. Because they go there, they play Norwich on the weekend at Liverpool, and they'll beat them.
Yeah.
So then they go to Madrid. And I'm even then looking ahead at Madrid's fixtures, going, oh, if they win it, then they play Villarreal on the weekend. They could lose there. I'm looking at like maps to see where Villarreal is and stuff, north of Valencia.
Bilbao for a Bielsa derby.
It'd be amazing if we could.
This is one of the reasons why I'm relaxed about promotion, because we still get the party at the end of the season, don't we?
So we do this show in the first half of the week, then we sit down with Phil Hay in the second half of the week and then try and make sense of it all, and we behave a lot more like grown-ups and there are far less bleeps and
swears.
You
can tell it's serious when you're sitting down with somebody. It's like the headmaster, isn't it?
And if you haven't listened to it yet, look out for The Phil Hay Show in your podcast app. The Athletic, also the home of Phil's writing, and it's a place where Phil explores rich stories around Leeds United with a depth that you don't get anywhere else. So there's no ads, no pop-ups, no clickbait. Check out this week as well the deep dive on psychology at Elland Road, all the stuff that we were just talking about before. The amount of time that, you'll like this, Michael, the amount of time that Leeds have spent in the top two and may not be there by the end of the day. This is one I'm looking forward to reading as well. A long read on the redevelopment plans for Elland Road, so we can find out maybe a little bit more about what's likely to happen when we go up and they choose to redevelop Elland Road. I want to know what this West Stand's going to look like. Will it have the fabled cheese room that Tottenham decided not to put in?
This is it. Everybody wants a cheese room, don't we? Suddenly I am now tense for promotion, because we don't go up and we don't have a cheese room, I'm just going to stop going to games.
So if you want to look beyond the boundaries of Leeds United, there's Premier League coverage on the Athletic as well. Sport from around the world, and every bit of writing, audio and video is included ad-free in your subscription. Get a free trial and 50% off your sub at theathletic.co.uk/thesquareball. It's theathletic.co.uk/thesquareball. On to tonight then, Brentford away.
3 easy points.
Do you know what? We're going to win this.
Yep.
The last time we won at Brentford, we only got 2 points. Which I think is just goes to show how sneaky they are.
Corrupt football league again.
Yeah, they didn't even want to give us the full credit for it then, just because it was the 50s and that's what you got.
This one is just, it's set up with us now being zen. Obviously, Michael, we'll have you zen by the end of this podcast. With us being zen now, Moscow.
Mm.
And Thomas Frank, he's almost veering.
He's losing it.
He's veering towards Billy Davis, job done territory with some of the stuff he's been saying. Not intended that way, I'm sure, but that's still how it's come across.
Everyone knows how much I respect Marcelo Bielsa and what he's done to build up Leeds as a club and as a team, but they couldn't pick a worse place to play Tuesday night. I'm 100% sure that they fear us going into this game. It's not to say that we're just going to win it, but I promise you one thing, we will be absolutely at it and ready to attack. Griffin Park is our fortress. Under the lights, with the fans behind us, it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere.
that is just set up for us on such a terrible run of form. Don't win in London. Him saying that.
It's all got to change sometime, hasn't it?
So why not tonight, Michael? Why not? Why not tonight?
I was wondering.
Is it because you've got
I was wondering how I was going to contribute to this optimism, and I'm not quite sure. £20 is what I've done, what I've gone for in the end. Just reinvesting winnings from Saturday. I don't know. We might win. You never know. You have to win at some point, don't you?
They call their strike force. Who have they got up front? I can't remember their names.
Watkins.
Yeah, and there's three of them. They call them the BMW. And once you're into that kind of territory, you know your shit. BMW, blah, blah, blah.
It does have to turn around at some point. You're right. And why not tonight? Why not? Because we're good. We are good. Despite everything, we are a good team.
And don't forget, they have Pontus Janssen in their defence, who...
Coming back from injury, isn't he?
Possibly not fit, but...
But that is the open question, because it's a big game for him. And I think he's tried to play a little bit of psychology in the build-up to this. Again, about burnout, when he was saying it was maybe not so much this time of year, last season. I think this time of year I was flying, playing really good. But around March and the beginning of April, especially after the international break, I felt really tired. Maybe I was not sleeping as well. Maybe it's because I became a father. But towards the end of last season, I felt more mentally tired than physically tired. Maybe it's a common thing. And this year it's happening the same as last year for them. But it's difficult to say. And I think for a player outside the club to be like, oh yeah, I did actually feel very tired at the end of last season, and I'm sure they'll be fine. Fuck off, Pontus. But yeah, we know about him.
He knows what he's doing there, doesn't he?
We know about him in big games and when things are going badly. That's not his. That's not his forte. As it turned out over the years, the Derby playoff semi-final when he was substitute, it's probably exactly where he belonged for that kind of game, because I'm not sure his temperament over the years has been to kind of disappear on tough nights. So this feels like the kind of match. I know there's a lot of fear about how it'll just be simple. They'll put a corner into the box and he'll head it past Kiko. No, I think they'll put a corner into the box. And if he's even on the pitch, if he's not like, oh no, my hamstrings, I don't want to play against Leeds if I'm not in perfect condition, I think he's more likely to do a Preston where nobody can work out where the head injury is coming from, but he's lying on the floor going, yeah, couldn't quite get to that one. Why didn't you head it in then?
You actually do wonder if maybe he might stitch himself up a little bit and say that he's fitter than he is, if because he wants to play.
It's the other thing as well. Mm. So all the pressure tonight, there's no pressure on Leeds. All the pressure is on Pontus Janssen to prove that he was ever good enough to play for Leeds United. And I think we'll know at 9:30 tonight that because Pat Bamford, of all people, has scored a hat-trick past him, that he was not.
The one thing that we do look to optimistically maybe tonight is that they will attack us, which should give us a bit of space to play.
That's it. The BMW has got to, they've got to put the key in the ignition. They've got to rev that engine. They've got to flash the headlights. They've got to do all that kind of stuff. It's probably got one of those trays underneath with blue LED lights. They can't afford to just take that cruising slowly around the corner, can they? They have to absolutely bomb it down a high street at 50 miles an hour and crash into a bollard.
I like it how you've made it a really chavvy BMW.
Of course it is. Brentford. I don't know what Brentford's like. Nice pubs, aren't there, on the forecourt. But they're leaving anyway. Griffin Park is our fortress and we will never play there again after this season. Mm. Fuckers.
Their new ground is surprisingly tiny as well, compared to even to Griffin Park, which ain't big. It's not much bigger.
It's all
bigger.
About expectations, isn't it? They expect to be shit. Because they often are, and they will be tonight. Dreadful team, top to bottom.
So what are you going for
just
tonight?
Just a bunch of players that they've signed off Football Manager.
What are you going for tonight, Michael?
I think we'll lose.
Moscow?
4-0 win, Bamford hat-trick. He'll go off for the applause, Augustin will come on and get his first goal for Leeds to crown a 4-0 win.
More realistic prediction?
Maybe not 4-0, but I think we'll win.
I do too.
I think there'll be the return of Calvin, Ben White back in defence. That's like having two really good players back in the team. And I think it remains to be seen what will happen with then. Is it Ayling or Dallas stays in the team? Like, who else plays around? Shackleton is in the mix. We know that there's a question about the goalkeeper, and we know Bielsa did say at the weekend, at least, you know, he's going to review mistakes and he has to make decisions. And it's not unheard of for him to, you know, we talked about it at the weekend that he was going to take Bailey Peacock Farrell out. And in the end, he did take Bailey Peacock Farrell out because he bought Kiko Kassir. So we changed the goalkeeper last season when it wasn't working for the goalkeeper we had. And the mistake Kassir made against Forest was so witlessly shit that it's kind of, you can't look at that goalkeeper without at least going to him the next day and say, look, are you sure? you need to just, like, even for your own good.
That will be my team. My one source of optimism pre-game will come if the team has got two or three changes in it, and I can think, okay, well, maybe something different will happen. Because it feels like we've been doing the same thing with the same results for a while now.
But Calvin back is that big thing, because it's so vital that the passes from there and the tackles from there are good. And he's a Premier League quality player at it, and that's what we need. And also, just because there's not a lot of time for training between Saturday tea time and Tuesday kickoff, but there is a lot of time for the players to kind of sit around and go, should we just stop being shit? Should we? Saturday was rubbish.
Between me and you, mate, I hope that's what they do.
Yeah, and Luke Ayling saying, look, I had to go on fucking LUTV looking like an absolute sap. And that's everybody in this room's fault. So can we have me back on LUTV on Tuesday night laughing my little head off, please? And, you know, shaking my hair down to my shoulders carefree because I've washed that girl out of my hair and I am happy again.
We will revisit this one later on today then on the match ball after the game and see how wrong one of us at least
problem
was.
Problem is, I don't get to have any satisfaction. If we win, you two will come and go, ah, you bloody naysayer, I told you.
You're wrong. Your doubts and fears, completely fair. Completely fair.
Also, what odds have you got on that 20 quid?
We were actually not favourites for it. It was about eight, I'm on decimal, it was like 2.8 to 1 or
right,
something.
Right, so if Leeds lose tonight and we come in, we'll be robbing you. So you're right, it is no, no win.
I understand completely your doubts and fears, but I've had enough of feeling sad and anxious about Leeds, so I'm choosing not to, because I can't affect the outcome.
You're going with hopeless optimism.
Correct.
Have you considered religion?
This is it, I think. And then onto the weekend, and we will have, well, a unique sight at Elland Road. You'll have Marcelo Bielsa sat on his bucket in the technical area, patrolling the lines, and you'll have Lee Johnson stood on a bucket just so he can see out the dugout.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to go with sat on his bucket, still towering over Lee Johnson.
Yeah, and that as well.
He does seem to be getting shorter, doesn't he?
He is. Maybe there's a Benjamin Button thing going on.
He's just shrinking.
He's regressing,
I think the angrier he gets, the smaller he becomes, and he picks fights. Maybe he's just picking fights with bigger men as time goes on, and he feels more need to prove himself.
Well, that's like maybe he loses kind of his life, some of his life force is built around anger, and it just seeps away, and it just shrinks an inch every time he gets angry.
Maybe it's because of him, but weirdly, as much as I think we will lose tonight, I'm just not that fussed about Bristol. I kind of think we might win this.
Yeah, they're like Brentford, but rubbish, in that they've got that atmosphere about them of them being quite clever in the transfer market, and sell players on to brighten those defenders and stuff, and that they
very high opinion of themselves.
Yeah, they make those occasional big signings,
It's ironic with where Lee Johnson's comes.
You know, they signed who's that defender that they signed from Middlesbrough and they spent an absolute fortune on? And you think, oh, you know, Bristol are going for it. But then you look around the rest of the team and you think, oh, actually, they're shit.
I think the reason for this, actually, I'm just looking at our head-to-head record with them. We basically lost to them in September of 2016 and then we've just won more or less every game other than that.
And whoscored.com has a very gratifying list of their weaknesses, which are keeping possession, defending counter-attacks, defending set pieces, stopping opponents from creating chances, avoiding individual errors, defending against long shots and protecting the lead. Their strengths are attacking down the wings, creating chances, finishing scoring chances and stealing the ball from the opposition. But then they can't keep the ball once they've stolen it. So, you know, you don't have 7 weaknesses on your whoscored.com report. And then expect to beat Leeds United.
And there is also an argument to say, you know, we were looking at this run of fixtures and everyone was terrified about sort of Christmas and the new year, that the really difficult extended run of fixtures comes to an end tonight. So even if it doesn't quite go to plan tonight and we only get a point instead of all three, then we're heading into a bunch of fixtures that are all eminently winnable.
A load of teams we can beat because we've beaten them before and we're a really good team. So it'll be all right. And Naki Wells, as long as we're not playing basketball tonight on Saturday, I don't think he'll be anything to worry about.
If you want to hear more from us and get behind us too, you might want to check out the Extra Ball podcast, that other one that we've got, subscription podcast. This week, as we mentioned before, looking back at the time we did beat Scum in the FA Youth Cup, 1993, and Jamie Forrester's famous overhead kick, putting the likes of Beckham and Scholes on their arse and in the bin. And we bring you an additional podcast on top of that one as well. We are playing Championship Manager 01-02 to right the wrongs of the Ridsdale era era, really, because things, I don't know if you heard, things went a little bit sour for us after about that era. So we're making sure that they don't go sour again. Shouldn't work on a podcast, but amazingly somehow does. There is a prize mug up for grabs every week too. You can sign up, enjoy that first month for free at thesquareball.net/theextraball. Goodies and baddies then. Our heroes and villains, joy and despair. Let's do the Ken Bates Villainy Award, somebody who's darkened our door across the last 7 days. Ken Bates, it's the custom that he gets the first nomination. What is he up for this time?
Well, Councilman Ken Bates, he's not done anything this week, but just because I'm keeping an eye on his Facebook page now. When we first mentioned his Facebook page, he had 132 likes. He's now at over 500. So just goes to show what we've done for him.
What's great is he's starting to get a wee bit shirty about the fact he now knows that.
Oh, has he? I've not seen this.
No, he doesn't know about us, but he knows about Ken Bates, the Leeds United one. And he's replying to people saying, look, I'm not the chairman of Leeds United. But people are obviously just ignoring that and saying, yeah, but what about the cladding on the East Stand and stuff like that?
I think that's a battle he's not going to win. Just turn them all into voters, Ken.
So as much as we were saying that Twitter is a daft, toxic platform earlier on in this podcast, big thumbs up for Facebook and hijacking pages of...
It's minor. You know, there were only 132 people ever there for the right reason. So I feel like... At least these extra 300-odd people are having some fun.
They might be interested in his ideas.
Quite possibly.
I mean, don't be. He sounds like a knob, but maybe you will.
I mean, as we've just been talking about, a poisonous little midget, I think real Ken should get a nomination for appointing Dennis Wise.
Yeah, he was a godfather to his children as well.
Probably the angriest, smallest manager. I think he's probably Johnson's hero, I would say.
Has that anniversary come round again?
Does he look up?
Dennis Wise?
Look up to him?
Well, no. It's just with the Lee Johnson thing, I was just thinking of other angry midgets.
Yeah. Who else would you like to put in for villainy?
John Matthews. He was the referee in the Scum Youth Cup game, which I didn't really sit and watch and enjoy the way I'd hoped to, because shortly before kickoff, I realised that my boiler had packed in. So I was trying to fix a boiler while keeping half an eye on the game.
It's nice and warm at the moment. You'd be all right.
Yes. It's now, so that was Thursday night. It's now Tuesday. It's hopefully being replaced today. So hopefully I'll get home and I will be able to have a wash. So I'm looking forward to that. But my mood was not helped by whenever I did look at the screen to see what was happening in the Youth Cup match. This wanker was booking another one of our players for absolutely no reason. Five players he booked for nothing. Two yellows to Henry Kumwenda, so he got sent off for nothing. And it was just an absolute farce. He was a 100% incompetent homer who I think Leeds could have won that game if we'd had a proper referee. And not only was he a terrible referee who pissed me off at the time, but the amount of time it took me to find out his name so that I could put him on this list. It's not easy to find out the referee in
a youth cup
match.
Does sound like a name you've made up.
Or like a brand of salmon.
I assure you, like Aldi's, I spent
Aldi's tuna.
You've looked in your cupboard and you've gone John West, Bernard Matthews. Let's go, John Matthews. His linesman Bernard West.
Like it. Oh, we forgot to nominate Kiko on Saturday. This was pointed out to us by a few people for villainy.
Yeah.
So our apologies for not doing that. He's in there now.
Get your racist hands on the ball, you wanker.
It went without saying, I think, on Saturday that he was a villain.
I mean, this will be divisive, but do we have to put Andrea Radrazzani in for his Twitter use?
Yeah.
Even though he said...
It's the only way he'll learn.
Only way he'll learn. And to hell with the consequences.
He does just need to stop.
We'll probably get a tweet about this as well.
Well, we...
And so it continues. So the cycle will continue.
Exactly.
And we are responsible for it. Right, who else?
I mean, do we need to nominate... Well, both of us. Let's be fair and nominate both of our strikers.
Neither of them scored.
Useless. How much money are there between them? Bamford was what, 7? Kev's 17? Pathetic. Score some goals.
And how do you pronounce the name of this storm? Because it concerns me.
It's not like Ciara the singer, is it?
No.
Is it Ciara, the drink? I don't know.
This is going to upset somebody as well.
It's a storm.
Everyone gets upset at the internet.
Storm C. Storm Curly K.
This was a nomination by MJ, who is at Elland_Toad on Twitter, who said, and I quote, "If that fucker had come 12 hours earlier, we'd have had the Forest game postponed and wouldn't have had our weekends ruined." That said, though, it should be noted that if we postponed the game on Saturday, then Calvin wouldn't be playing tonight for our victory at Brentford.
We just need to get it over and done with that game, didn't we?
So we've got Bates, Radrazzani.
Both Bates.
Several of our players, including our new multi-million pound striker, a storm. And a child's referee.
The referee wasn't a child, was he? He looked like a grown man from the highlights.
Didn't act like one.
Tell that to Lee Johnson.
Should we give it to John?
Yeah, I think his one moment in the in the sun is the big night. And it gave, there was a whole narrative, because when I was trying to find out who he was, I ended up like browsing the Manchester Evening News and seeing all the reports on their game. And they make it sound like the bullies from Leeds went and absolutely hacked that multi-million pound show pony child to pieces, which is not the game I watched. But because he was dishing out all those yellow cards constantly, it just gave that appearance. If you know when there's nothing in a game, but the referee makes something in a game, it was that. And then that fed into the reputation afterwards. It was all just, it was like dirty Leeds.
And they were bleating about us bloody singing songs and actually creating an atmosphere in that godforsaken place. What's wrong with them? Can't wait till we do go up and we can sort out that Premier League. Is he having it then, Matthews?
Yes.
Congratulations on being a knockoff tuna brand. Right, the Andy Hughes Hero Award. Who's your nom?
Jude Bellingham.
Speaking of children, yeah.
Yes. We were watching this game in the Birmingham game, weren't we? And it was like, I'm sure it said on the commentary that he's 16. Mm. And he is. It turns out he actually is.
He's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. But he did come off against Bristol and say, who the fuck are you, to Lee Johnson, which was quite pleasing. And possibly something else, but you couldn't...
It looked like there was a little gesture with his hand. Because he's quite tall, like
Jude. Did he ruffle his hair?
Not quite, but he was...
Because he's towering over him, isn't he?
Yes, a 16-year-old boy towering over him.
There's something brilliant about a child telling Lee Johnson to fuck off, basically.
And Lee Johnson going to find his mum and dad. And them saying, well, who the fuck are you?
Again, while looking down on him. Who else? Heroes?
Bielsa, for staying calm. Well, all around, well, calmish. It's a useful time to just remember that although his team selections can be infuriating and his, people call it stubbornness, but, you know, as I wrote last week, you wouldn't call the Pope stubborn for continuing to believe in God, even though there's so much evidence to the contrary. It's just, it's a belief. And we do need to remember, you know, we talk about the brilliant effect that Bielsa has had, not just on the football, but on everybody, his supporters and the things we've learned from him and his comments on them. Football and him saying when I was, this is an old, long old interview, but I was happy when I enjoyed amateur football. I was happy when I matured as I was in love with my job in football. I have a deep love for football, for the game, for the corner kick, for the narrow space, for the long line on the pitch, for the football itself, but I despise everything that comes after those concepts. In order to explain this a little better, I know that joy after winning only lasts 5 minutes, and then there is a huge void and a loneliness that is hard to describe. Never allow failure to deteriorate your self-esteem. When you win, the admiration messages you get can be confusing. When you lose, the exact opposite happens.
Oras Flores translated it. I like football.
I want to give a nomination to Diego Flores because it feels like he needs a boost this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
And the other...
It's not his job, is it?
I was going to mention...
He's not his job. His job is to coach people.
Same with Bielsa. I was going to mention with the press conferences, actually. It gets forgotten sometimes because he does talk so long in them. He does not like doing them. I think in his ideal world, and he has skipped a few, and especially when it is this period when we play Saturday, Tuesday, and so he has to do one on Thursday and Monday. Part of his exasperation on Monday will have been, why am I here again? Why am I talking to these people? Why can't I be out there finding out what the fuck's wrong with Kiko Kassia? Why are they asking me the same questions that they were asking me last week when we know that they're going to ask me those questions? It's not the part of things that he likes doing. So...
I just remembered there was a point in that press conference yesterday where you must have seen it. You know, Flores just gave up and shrugged.
Yes.
I don't know.
And he also was talking over him in English at one point, wasn't he? He's like, look, I'm just going to tell you what I'm saying. I'm just going to tell them what I'm saying.
Nomination as well for Salim Lamrani for his well-timed call to arms, I think. It reminded us of a few truths.
Yes, it did. Much as Andrea Radrizzani, that's how you do it. You've got to go back 30 years, get a doctorate in Cuban-US relations, get on the weights, beef up a bit and be a nicer person, and then we'll listen to you on Twitter because I listen to everything Salim Lamrani says on Twitter.
Who would you like to have her hero award this time?
Flores.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout, actually.
It's not so bad. Come on, cheer up.
And he's doing well.
We've all had those days at work, haven't we, where someone's having a go at you and it's not really your fault, and you're like, I shouldn't even be here in the first place, really, but I've been forced to do this bloody thing and now I'm in the shit.
Lamrani used to make mistakes in translation, he says himself, and we're getting used to Flores' quirks now. It's almost what I want to stick with him. I've got used to how he translates Bielsa when he says there is one attacker who can score a goal. He means, no, there is an attacker and all these little, there's little things where he says, and what was it, the one where he made it sound like Adam Forshaw was had to retire? But you kind of
he cannot recover
to 100% of that. Fuck it, it's more serious than we thought. So
does he even know this?
But we're getting used to all that now, and I'm looking forward to him translating, saying, we are delighted that we have won promotion, and somebody has to say to him, no mate, we finished 10th.
Phil Hay Show is out and about later on this week with mags, mugs and merchandise, subscriptions to the Extra Ball and half-season subs as well for the mag, all at thesquareball.net. We will reconvene here in about, 9-10 hours, something like that, after this game tonight, and see how we're all feeling then. But the mood's been a little bit happier than I expected.
We'll be happy but poor, because he'll have lost all his money on his bets.
I'm more than happy.
And Leeds United will have won, so we'll be delighted.
Let's hope so.
Fingers crossed. We'll speak to you later on today. Ta-ra.
The Square Ball Podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.